Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. This is Pastor Romel Moore of Kingdom Convoy, and today it's on my heart to speak about grieving the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a few passages of scriptures, and we'll jump right into it. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 reads, "Do not quench the Spirit." Isaiah 63, verse 10 reads, "But they rebelled and grieved his Spirit," or his Holy Spirit. "Therefore, he turned to be their enemy and himself fought against them." Acts chapter 7, verse 51 reads, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your father did, so do you." And finally, John chapter 14, verse 26 reads, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. And most of all, we thank you for your Spirit of truth. And we ask, Father God, that you prick our hearts today, that we would turn from any wicked ways, that our hearts would be pricked. And if we're doing anything that grieves your Spirit, especially pertaining to compromising in our Christian walk according to the wicked culture that's in our land, we ask that you forgive us, and we ask that you open up our hearts and our minds, and that we would do the things that's pleasing to you by your grace, and we would no longer grieve your Holy Spirit of truth, in Jesus' name. Now, I like to give a story that I believe is very apropos for the culture that we live in America today. This sinister, spiritually opposing, wicked, backwards culture that we're currently in America. And we know that the Bible says that everything that will be has already been, and there's nothing new under the sun. And so a passage of scripture in the Old Testament that I think is a parallel of the culture in America today pertaining to the church is found in Daniel chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 1. Daniel 3, verse 1. "King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the princes, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the princes and prefects and governors and advisors, treasurers, judges, and magistrates, they all of the provincial officers assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, 'This is what you are commanded to do. every people, nation, and men of every language, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. That's interesting. But I believe this story is very indicative of what we're seeing, living right before our Christian eyes today in America. And so let's jump right into this. Now, first, I want to give you the definition of grieve when the Bible says not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve means to cause pain or grief, to distress, cause sorrow, to be in heaviness, to be sad, affliction, or annoyance. So this is the Greek rendering of the word grieve. This means that, I'd like to say, what we're going to talk about today, and based on the scripture and the story we just read in Daniel chapter 3, we're going to deal with how, as a church, as the body of Christ, as the people of God, church literally means called out ones. As the ones who God have separated, called out, sanctified, and justified for the advancement of his kingdom on earth today. We're the only ones that could grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not grieved at the world being the world. The Holy Spirit is not grieved at Satan and his kingdom doing what they do. The Holy Spirit is not grieved for sinners being sinners. The Holy Spirit was sent by Christ himself when he went to heaven to live in the born again believers. And his job is to empower us to live successful kingdom lives on earth. Okay. And so he is not grieved when darkness do what darkness do. He is only grieved when the people that he live inside of, when the people that are called by his name, when the people who've been redeemed, born again, and supposed to be in love with their Savior are not living the kingdom life that he is teaching, leading, and guiding us into, but we're living compromising, spineless lives based on the evil, wicked culture of the systematic arrangements of things of the world we're in today. And so this is seen in the story, and I know that's a familiar passage of scripture. And ultimately in that story, there were only three, the three Hebrew boys, who said, we will not bow down to this image. We will not obey, convey, go along with what the enemy is telling us to do. There's only one image we will be conformed to, and that is the image of Jesus Christ. And so there was a penalty or punishment for not conforming to the world. And this is what grieves the Holy Spirit today. I'm not talking about individual hangups or habits things we have as a person. The Holy Spirit understands that we are growing in grace. So in your individual walk, he already knows there's still some things that you're going to grow out of. He is patient and he's long-suffering when it comes to our personal growth in those areas. Like, you know, I always say God works on the inside out. So on a personal level, he knows that there's some things we're working through and he's patient with that. But I'm talking about when it comes to the culture. I'm talking about when it comes to, as this story says, when the evil culture tell God's people what they can and can't do and we conform to it. This is one of the major areas that will grieve the Spirit of God. Okay. Now, let me give you a little bit more history on what was going on at this time and break down some names. So Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, his name means may Nebo protect the crown. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar means Nebo, chief protector, or Mercury, fire of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar means Nebo, the Lord of brightness, or Nebo, the original fire. You say, well, what does any of that have to do with what we're talking about? Well, we must understand that Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, and for all practical reasons, Babylon, that kingdom, pretty much ruled the world at that time. And so as we lay a foundation as far as the history, after the flood, there was a man by the name of Nimrod who became the first world leader of that day. And if you read Genesis chapter, I believe 10 and 11, it breaks down how after the flood, when he became the first world leader, he was a very wise man. He was a very physically strong man, something like of a Hercules. But he was defiant of God. He was the one who was the leader of the rebellion of building the Tower of Babel. The purpose of building the Tower of Babel was because, of course, they understood that God had just destroyed the earth and their forefathers by a great flood. And so in defiance to that act which killed their evil forefathers, Nimrod, because the earth was still in one language at that time, Nimrod got the people together, said, we're going to build a tower that reach up to heaven. So the first purpose of this tower was in case God get mad at us again and send a flood, that flood will not be able to destroy us because we're going to build something higher than the flood can reach. Secondly, the purpose of the tower was to literally make it into the heavens where God dwelled and dethrone him. And of course, we see this in a lot of movies about mythology, you know, dealing with the Titans and the war in heaven. And so this is where all of this come from. It actually began after the flood. And so if you read about the story, the little part that's mentioned about Nimrod, he was the first one to build cities and kingdoms after the flood. And one of the first kingdoms that was established after the flood was Babylon. This is why the tower was called the Tower of Babylon. And of course, God came down himself and stopped that work and caused many languages. And this is where we get Babel from, which stopped them from being able to build the tower because no one understood one another's language. But at the same time, one of the kingdoms that was established under Nimrod, to make a long story short, is the Babylonian kingdom. And so from what Nimrod started up until Nebuchadnezzar, this is where this began. And so I want you to know that under the Babylonian system, this is where all pagan and false god worship began. I'm going to say that again. It was the Babylonian system under Nimrod where paganism, false god, false idols, this is where this began. Okay. And what you need to understand as a footnote is that after the church began through Jesus Christ, some years later, when the Roman Emperor Constantine supposedly was converted into Christianity, in order to appease the growing faction of Christians and also the pagan faction of his Roman citizens, he came up with the brilliant idea of mixing the two cultures. And from this is where, this is around when he started the Roman Catholic Church, or gave license for it. And this is where Christmas comes from. This is where Ishtar or Easter comes from. It is a mixing of the culture of the church with the culture of paganism. And I need you to hear this. This is why when you go into the Catholic Church, you will see many of the pagan practices that started with Nimrod and the institution of paganism and false idols and false images. This is why in the Catholic Church, you will see statues that the Bible clearly prohibits to not make any graven images at all. So this is why you will see statues of supposedly dead saints. Okay. The Bible says, do not make any graven images. The Bible clearly states not to speak or conjure up or have conversations with or attempt to with the dead. But this is what happens in the Catholic Church, because it was the compromising of the church with paganism. Okay. And so when you go there, you're going to see the images and people having their own little trinkets, still praying to dead saints when the Bible prohibits. See? And so I don't want to dig too deep into that, but that, so Catholicism means universalism. And this is what it basically grabbed all of the pagan worship that began under Nimrod and the Babylonian system and mixed it with the culture of the church. And the Catholic Church still operates in all of that. Now, when you walk in through the Catholic Church and you see those images of supposedly passed on saints, and they always have like a bright image around their head. And see, you think that that's like a halo or like a glow showing that they are holy or saints. But in actuality, it's the mixture. It comes from Nimrod and the creation of paganism way back in Genesis chapter 11, because they worship the sun god or Ra. And so when you see these images of dead supposedly saints with that light behind them, it is not indicative that they are a saint, but it is showing that they worshiped Ra or the sun god. It was the mixture of paganism with the church. Now, I must move on. So Babylon was the birthplace of paganism. And at this time in history, Nebuchadnezzar, whose name means Nebo, the Lord of Brightness, or Nebo, the original fire. This is significant because Nebo was the Chaldean, which is another name for ancient Babylon. Nebo was the Chaldean or Babylonian god of wisdom. So when you think of wisdom, you think of illumination or brightness. And so anything that has to deal with wisdom or illumination, this is where we get Illuminati, that's basically signifying some type of fire or brightness, because when there's a fire, it gives light or illumination in darkness. And so this is what Nebuchadnezzar name means. And so this was the person who came up with the brilliant idea of setting up a 90-foot golden image. And most Bible scholars believe this image was of himself. And after setting up this golden image, he said, when they play all the different types of music, every nation, every tongue, every people under the kingdom, and the kingdom ruled the world at the time, must bow down to the image. I said all of that to say this: today in America, we have, because there's nothing new under the sun, we have the institution of the Babylonian system in the culture in America. And the golden image, now gold represents deity, okay? The golden image that is erected in front of God's people, the church, the body of Christ, and the music to accompany it, wherein we are commanded by the God of this world to bow down, is the image of self. I'm going to say that again. The golden image today that the politically correct fallen system in America is pressuring God's people to bow down to is the image, the golden image of self. And see, we understand that gold represents deity, or that which is divine, or supposedly be God. It is self. The enemy is promoting self today at all new heights. It is self-worship, being self-absorbed, self-righteous. He is pushing for you to worship self. And we have to understand that. The enemy doesn't necessarily need you to bow down to him. The ultimate sin is to worship self. He have no new tricks up his sleeve. Isn't that what he got a man and woman to do in the garden? He said, God knows that the day that you eat, ye will be like gods, knowing good and evil, that it will make you wise. See, it was about self. It wasn't about him. When all you see is yourself, you are fallen. This is why after they ate, the Bible says, look at this. The Bible says, and their eyes were open and they saw themselves. And their eyes were open and they saw themselves, which means before the fall, and the self that it was speaking of was the flesh. Before the fall, the flesh was on the inside and the spirit and the soul was on the outside. So the perversion of that occurred after they ate, and the spirit and soul, as we know it today, is hidden on the inside, and the flesh stepped out up front and was seen on the outside. They had not seen their physical bodies before. And so the evidence that they had fallen was the fact that they saw themselves, because the greatest job or trick of the enemy or goal of the enemy is to get you to see you, is to get you to worship you, is to get you to admire and adore and make your own self golden or divine. This is what is at work in America today. And this is what will grieve the Spirit of God concerning His church when their focus is no longer dying to this world and being conformed into the image of Christ, but becoming conformed to this world. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, let's continue to talk about this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And today, I believe it's the image of self. Now, 666, we know that infamous number from the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. It's called the number of the beast. But this is what I want you to see about this. 666. Now, six is the number of man. God made man on the sixth day. I'm going to make this as simple as possible. And we know that man is a tripartite or triune being, if you would. We're spirit, soul, and body. We are not just a physical body. We're not just a soul. We're not just a spirit, but complete man. Man is spirit, soul, and body. So on the sixth day, God made spirit. On the sixth day, God made soul. On the sixth day, God made a body. So man, who's made on the sixth day as a tripartite being, was made 666. Now, the issue with 666, because the Bible says in Revelation 13 that that number is the number of a man. What man? You and I, fallen man. Okay. But look at this. Six is the number of man, but seven is the number of completion, which means man by himself or man without God will never be complete. Now, the number one is the number of God, the Lord our God. He is one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one. So six without one will never be seven. Or man without God will never be complete. What am I trying to say? It does not matter. And see, this is the heart of the Babylonian system. This is what Nebuchadnezzar was doing in his day. This has all to do with that golden image that we're bowing down to. Because we have to understand that it does not matter how wise man is in and of himself. It does not matter how intelligent. It does not matter how brilliant. It does not matter how advanced man can get on his own. We know that it is impossible for six to be seven. And that means it is impossible for man to be complete without God. And this goes to the heart of the meaning of the name Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebo was the Chaldean god of wisdom or brightness. See, man's wisdom, no matter how bright we are, no matter how many sixes we line up, it can be 12 sixes, it can be 3,000 sixes, it can be 3 million sixes. Six by itself would never be seven. So God did not create us to worship ourselves. He created us to worship Him. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 pretty much tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 informs us to be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember, Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. Okay, so I want to make that clear. So it's the world that tells us what's politically correct, and the world will aggressively and even violently attack us for disagreeing with them. They are willing. To destroy you just for disagreeing with them. They will call you chauvinistic, xenophobic, homophobic, just because you disagree with them. Don't disagree with the carefree sexual lifestyle and ultimately abortion of babies. Don't disagree with them. This is what they're telling us. They're telling the church. They're saying, don't disagree with my right to change my sex and be called the opposite of what God made me. Don't disagree with me being a so-called Christian, but still worshiping pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter while ignoring the seven major biblical holidays in the Bible. Don't disagree with me. Because the world system, the Nebuchadnezzar of today, wants us to honor the image of self and worship of self. That image, that golden image, is an image of self. And when we hear the music, we're supposed to bow down to it. What music? What's the number one genre of music in the world today? Hip hop. Rap was never, ever thought to become this popular. It has crossed all ethnicities and cultures, all races and creeds. It is an international music genre now. I don't care where you go. The young people know all the rap today. Okay? And so the music that's being played today that is used to cause us to bow down to the golden image of self is hip hop. And the theme of hip hop is have sex when you want, where you want, with how many people you want. It's about materialism, jewelry, cars, homes, clothing, labels, brands, big booties, being a gangster, spending your money, your bands, popping bottles, clubbing. It's all about the pleasure of self. It's all about the glamorization of self. It's all about the pleasing of self. When the music plays, we're supposed to bow down to that image of self. Now, the place where this image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar set up, the place where it was built is in the plain of Dura. Now, if you look up the word Dura, D-U-R-A, it means circle or cycle. It means time and generation. We are living in the time, in the generation where this cycle, because it started in Nebuchadnezzar days thousands of years ago, and it is a cycle. It has circled back around to us. See, the enemy knew what he was doing because he knows he's the God of this world, and he knows that it was going to come back around. It cycled or circled right back around to us. America is a present day Dura. Where the golden image, and that's why everybody wants to come here. Now, I'm not saying that America is not great for good reasons, but The world is watching on television our videos. And see, it's not all the righteous things that people are willing to come here even illegally to get to, but it's a lot of the carnal and sinful and selfish things that they're trying to get to. They're trying to get to that golden image. They're trying to get to the heart of the place, the birthplace of the music. We'll see. They're trying to make it to that golden image because they want the jewelry and they want the women and the men. They want the riches. They want the materialism. They want the wealth. See, gold also represents money and materialism. They want that too. So they're trying to get here. They're not trying to get here because the gospel is here. They're not trying to get here, you know, just for a better living wage and a better, but it has to do with the worship of self. Okay. So the world is trying to make it to Dora. They're trying to make it to America, not realizing that for many, you're going to end up in idolatry in the worship of self. Now, isn't it interesting that in the biblical text, the consequence and judgment for not bowing down to this image when the music is played was fire? Isn't that something? So the enemy have set up this wicked culture that they're basically saying, we will put you in a fiery furnace if you don't compromise and bend to our twisted, evil, ungodly, sinister, and backwards culture. It's interesting how it was the king's judgment. Fire was the king's judgment for disobeying or not bowing down to his image. And that in reality, it's fire that is the enemy and his children's ultimate judgment. And we see this in this system today in America. This system will always convict and accuse you of the very thing it's guilty of. It'll launch investigations on you for colluding with the Russians when that's exactly what they did. It will accuse you of treason while committing it at the same time. It'll call you a devil knowing that's exactly who they are. Don't disagree with the homeless having the right to sleep on the sidewalk in front of your home or your business, and the right to defecate and urinate and leave all of their junk right there. It's the law in many places in America now, especially liberal ran. See, don't disagree with letting your children being taught homosexual curriculum and erroneous things like a man's anus is a sexual organ and having two moms and two dads are okay. See, we are supposed to be light. The Bible calls us salt. We're supposed to be agents of change. But the church in America have conformed to the world. And hear me, it grieves the Holy Ghost. I want to say something Jesus said, and it's very powerful. He said, if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing. We are the salt of the earth. He said, if we lose our savor, we are good for nothing. This is why and how the Holy Spirit is grieved. He is not grieved because the world is being the world. He's not grieved because sinners are sinning. He is grieved when his own people conforms to the world. He is grieved when the salt is no longer an agent of change. Jesus himself said that it is good for nothing. When the Holy Spirit is indwelling a group of believers in a certain culture, and they are bowing down to the ungodly images that the God of that world have set up, it grieves him because he understands we can no longer change the world. We can no longer shine light in darkness. We can no longer, as salt, change the flavor of our city and our community. And at that point, he understands we are good for nothing but to be cast under the foot of men. The body of Christ's purpose is to invade the culture with the kingdom of heaven, not become like that culture. We are in an age of apostasy and compromise. We've become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. The first century church would not sell out. And they were fed to lions by the Romans. Peter was crucified. He was crucified upside down. The first century church was in prison. They were burned alive. Why? Because they would not compromise. The same way the three Hebrew boys would not compromise. The same way Daniel would not compromise. Of course, the world and Satan, who is the God of this world, will try to inflict pain and give you harsh judgments for not conforming to their sinister culture. But we know that God is a deliverer. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He delivered Daniel. And guess what? He would deliver us. But I'm here to tell you something else. Even if he chooses not in this life to deliver us for not compromising, the Bible is clear. It's better to die in the Lord than to sell out to the world. So are you willing to suffer for Christ, or in the end suffer by Christ? We have to make a decision. The Holy Ghost is here to empower us to live lives above the pressure of the world. He is here to comfort us, to teach us, and lead and guide us as we endure for Christ. But he is grieved at our lack of backbone and the spinelessness of this generation, who have not been willing to live a crucified life and take up our cross to follow him. It is a very dangerous time when God's Spirit is grieved by his own people. So I want to ask you, what are you going to do about it?